Hey, this is Scott Jackson, and you're listening to the Monarchus Podcast.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Mike.
And you're listening to the Monarchus Podcast. Today, we're joined by Joe Raffinelli, the Senior Associate Athletic Director for Revenue Generation and External Operations. Joe, welcome to the world's best and only ODU podcast.
Appreciate it. Great to be here, guys.
Hey, thanks for joining us, Joe. First, that's a big title. Can you talk to us and educate fans on what goes all into that role?
Well, so I am overseeing a lot of the external units within the athletic department. So I've come from Rutgers University and Temple with a lot of background in ticketing on the operations and sales end. So a lot of like revenue focus within those two elements, as well as like marketing from a digital advertising space. So really my focus is revenue generation for the athletic department, which comes with the fan experience component too, and really, you know, making this one of the best environments for both fans and students for Old Dominion University. And I mean, I'm incredibly excited too. I've been here since July of last year, so still getting my feet wet. But I mean, one of the most attractive parts of this place was, I mean, A, like just the facilities and, you know, the programs that Old Dominion has. But also too, I mean, I think just like the fan base, you know, we have so many like really great opportunities in front of us and really great pieces to build on. And for someone like me in my role where, you know, there's the ability to kind of, I guess, be an entrepreneur in a way, in a lot of like the different areas that we look at, we're like, all right, how do we like kind of like build out these events? How do we build this program? How do we do this campaign? You know, it's really fun to kind of, you know, get into it, work with our team here on the external side and really, you know, have some fun with it, build out some memorable experiences for fans and students and, you know, kind of go from there.
All right, Joe, so it's your first year at Old Dominion after a successful period at Rutgers. What were your initial impressions of ODU and how have they changed after getting to know Monarch fans in the area a little bit better?
Yeah, so my initial, initial reactions is like there's so many opportunities for us down here. And the, like I said, facilities, the atmosphere, the fans themselves, I think lend it to so many great opportunities for us to do some really interactive, some really, innovative pieces from a marketing and external side. But the area itself has been awesome. I'm living here in Norfolk. My wife and I don't live too far from campus. And I mean, the area has been great. I mean, we love going up and down the Elizabeth River Trail, love going over to Virginia Beach. You know, a lot of great breweries, a lot of great local stops that I've found so far too. And, you know, I think it's a matter of bringing the community to ODU and vice versa. And like, that's been something that I'm really excited about. I think we've had a lot of internal conversations over the last, you know, really few months too, just of like, how do we, you know, bring the community to ODU and the reversal as well, and identifying some, you know, new and hopefully fun, you know, different elements that we can then bring into like our in-game experience, and how do we fold it into Kauffman Mall or different areas like that too, which like just excites me on how like just the opportunities that we have for the season.
All right. So your first year here had two varying levels of success on the field and in the stands for the two major sports. Let's lead off with hoops. It was a struggle on the court, but the fans continued to show up and get loud, leading the league in attendance once again. We know you played a part in that with group sales, but were you surprised in how our fans continued to show up this season?
I wouldn't say surprised, because I've heard some very good things about the basketball fan base. I would say I was impressed by the continued support and everything else, because like, I mean, you know, it gets tough after a while. But I think some of the biggest factors too is just the most encouraging pieces was just seeing that continued support and looking forward into, you know, a new year with, you know, Mike on staff now and everything else. I'm really excited about, you know, where we can, you know, take things and everything else. But yeah, I think, I mean, this past year, we really focused on like those experiences, those group sales, a lot of those different elements. You know, I think, I mean, you got probably some fans noticed a lot more national anthems this year with some of the choirs and everything else out. What program is that called? Or worked with a lot of local like elementary schools and middle schools for our Stars of Honor programs and everything else, which actually I think they brought out close to 3,000 students over the course of the season. And then we have our school days and everything else for women's basketball. So there are a lot of moving parts every basketball season. And our crew, Justin on my team, Alicia, Chrissy and Ryan and Lauren, like they did an awesome job really kind of working with a lot of those different groups. And, you know, it's a ton of logistics, but they did a good job this season.
Yeah, it's always cool to see all the elementary school kids out there holding up their certificates of, you know, doing cool things at school. And you're right. I mean, spot on with the national anthems. I mean, whether we're watching a choir or a chorus from one of the schools, but the soloists, y'all had some phenomental ones this year. So please continue to do that. That was awesome.
Yeah, no, they were awesome. And going back to having like the kid, you know, the elementary schools and everything else in the building too. I mean, you get there for our school day game that we host with women's basketball. That's the loudest game I think you're ever going to be a part of.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've been to probably four or five of those, and if you could just bottle that up,
you're gonna need earplugs for a few of those games.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so despite a competitive season for Old Dominion football, I think we all can agree that Ballard had way too many empty seats this season when there was a bowl game on the line. You guys did a survey after that, so I don't know if it led to the survey or if you were going to do a survey already, but there was one after football season. What were your biggest takeaways from fans that completed that survey, and what changes can fans expect based on the survey?
Sure. So we were going to plan the survey no matter what, and fans can probably expect to see a few more surveys from us over the years. I'm a big believer in feedback, and that allows us a good way to, you know, level set year over year and compare ourselves, right? I mean, I think just like on the field, if you're going to compare yourself by your record and your bowl appearances and everything else, we need metrics on our side too to help us. So, you know, for everyone listening too, I mean, we appreciate that type of feedback, and it's incredibly helpful for us to understand, you know, where we need to focus on, where we need to, you know, it's good to know what we're doing well, it's good to know what we're doing bad, but also just like, you know, where are those, you know, middle of the road areas that we might be missing or not even on our radar. So, yeah, so from this season, the feedback that we received, like there's three main areas that I think were very common in a lot of the responses. A lot of it was our pregame in Kauffman Mall was an area that I think, and I think just like, you know, me being, you know, seeing game for the first time this season too, that was like one area like right off the bat that I kind of noticed that I think we can really like do more with. Our pregame show and then our in-game programming were like the three elements that I think we got the most feedback on over the course of the year. And I hope fans, it was kind of consistent through both surveys, the mid-season survey as well as the postseason. And we did, from that mid-season survey, there were some immediate pieces that we tried to address, or at least like start putting in place for the final three games. And like the nice thing that we saw was that our net promoter score overall improved from the mid-season to the postseason. Now, you know, there's other factors too, like weather was a factor. I think, you know, the App State game was a really like great game for us from an overall atmosphere standpoint and everything else. But there was some elements with we had an on-field MC for that final game against Georgia State. There was a few other elements that we threw out there that I think we saw some changes. But going back to the three main takeaways that we took from the survey, with Kauffman Mall, all the feedback is, you know, fans want a tailgate. That's one of the most important pieces, and they want to attend like some sort of pregame event. And then when we were looking at the numbers, and again, we understand weather played a little bit of a factor of it. Only about 63% of our fans actually participated in tailgating. And then a lot of those folks that were coming from like the Chartway garages or anything else, only 50% of them tailgated. So that tells us that we need to put more programming into Kauffman Mall for not necessarily like, so we, like we don't want to necessarily take like the traditions away from everyone who has their traditional tailgate and all that. We're not trying to like replace that or take anything away from tradition. We really want to kind of enhance that element of like the school spirit, the, you know, the, when the Monarch walk and a lot of those different elements, when the team's coming in, the band and everything else, we want to like kind of enhance that period of time. And it, we have some like good pieces there. And a lot of the other elements around Kauffman Mall, like obviously live music, it was a big key to that. And so we're really looking into this year, you know, how do we get that there for all six home games as opposed to a couple. Really finding more food options available pregame. I think, you know, identifying some more food trucks and everything else to bring in to the game too. Student programming is something that we're talking internally with the university on first to see what more we can get there. And what I don't want to overpromise anything yet because there's still a lot to be addressed and a lot of planning, but ideally with Kauffman Mall, finding like having a game by game program or like a special event that we would host on Kauffman Mall. You know, like I said, we threw some ideas out there in the survey. So like a beer festival or a wine festival or wing eating contest, something to that effect. Now I can't guarantee any of those we'll get there, but we're working on trying to identify some special event that we can host there and do that. So hopefully that'll address a lot of like the feedback that we got from Kauffman Mall. The pregame show was the other element that the fan survey gave us back to. So we're certainly like, it sounds like everyone loves the parachuters, a lot of the flyovers that we do pregame and everything else. We're working hard to try to like secure some of those for next season, as well as like the fireworks and, you know, really having that more consistent throughout the year too. So like, those are some areas that we got a lot of good feedback. And then the in-game programming, which we did get a lot of feedback on as well. So there's some areas there with, you know, the on-field presentations, with the student engagement throughout the game. I think we have some ideas and some ways that we're already working towards right now to kind of help improve some of that. And I think more importantly too, like looking at it, I think we have some strengths in like the game presentation area, but maintaining crowd energy is something that like I think is incredibly important. So we're really focusing on like those type of areas from a momentum feel, from a, you know, music selection, different things like that, that I think, you know, and again, like music selection is always one of those things that like you can either go right or go wrong. It's just all a matter of opinion of the individual. But just finding that consistency is something that we got great responses from and great feedback from, and we're really, really focused on that for next year.
So, Joe, you were in the Big Ten. If you go to those big game environments, you know that there's cheerleaders on both sides of the stadium with cheer carts that are huge. So everyone in the stadium can see what they're supposed to cheer, right? I don't think we've ever seen that at Old Dominion, and I still don't know why.
Well, that is funny that you said that too, because I said the same thing. So we are working on that for next season as well. But I do agree. Yeah, I think and that's where like we want from a crowd engagement factor. Those are like those little things that we can do to help, you know, either like have a trigger or have a cadence in game that you see how that kind of translate in through those two. And there is like a method to the madness, right? So it's like those cue cards, it's that sound, right? Like that third down, you know, sound that kind of triggers a response. Like those are the things that, you know, we're looking at. And again, like we need fan feedback, right? And we want fan feedback in a lot of those areas too, because it doesn't happen without them. So we're not trying to like fit a square peg in a round hole by any stretch. But those are like the little subtle pieces that, yes, we have talked about that we're looking to roll out for next season.
Awesome. So the survey also mentioned the potential to create breakout groups or one-on-one phone calls. Is that something that's already occurred or in the future?
So we're looking at, we haven't done anything just yet. We are planning on probably over the summer to put together some, and I shouldn't say probably, we are looking to put together some like smaller focus groups over the summer too. The goal was actually to do it earlier this spring, or really like once we got pat through like basketball season, but depending on when we get the approval on like our final promotions and all that, because we're going to want to like kind of involve a lot of fans and just like what's going on game days, but also provide like the full list of like, here's everything planned and like where we can go from there. But yes, so we are looking at probably setting those up probably like early summer.
This episode of the Monarchist Podcast is brought to you by the Pride of ODU Collective.
Their mission is to elevate the experience of student athletes through name, image, and likeness, while also elevating the fan experience. If you or your business are interested in getting involved, you can reach out to us directly or go over to theprideofodu.com. That is theprideofodu.com. Thank you for listening, and go Monarchs.
Awesome. I know a lot of fans will be happy to hear that. So 2024 renewals have started, and we've gotten a lot of feedback, which is kind of why what led to us asking you to join us on this call today. I think we're all excited about next season, but some fans were surprised to see some price increases, some small and some much larger. Can you talk to us about what goes into the decision to change ticket prices and maybe walk us through how that timeline looks?
Sure. And I appreciate the question. Believe me, we certainly don't take those decisions lightly by any stretch. And, you know, the pricing component to, you know, how we kind of figure these things out, it doesn't happen necessarily just in a vacuum. It's not just like one factor leads to the next or anything else. But overall, the way I have a lot of my background is also like is kind of like on the data side, so kind of a data nerd in a sense there. But you know, the first thing that we looked at is just the scalability of the building, right? So you're looking at like sell through rates and some data points that can give you an idea of, you know, where the supply and demand and all those different factors are throughout the stadium. You're looking at, you know, the schedule, the home opponents. You know, obviously I think it's fair to say that this is probably like the best home schedule that we've had, you know, for ODU. We're looking at things like weighted averages and everything else to understand just like, all right, what is like the true value of seats, and then like the secondary pricing and everything else. We do have the integration with SeatGeek and a few other partners too that allows us to get like a better, really good understanding of what those values are. So it's not like we're looking at like the high end or low end. Like we're kind of meshing a lot of those data points together to kind of come up with, you know, where the numbers are, and then understanding kind of like history too, knowing that like we haven't had many price increases over the last few years, and understanding that there are different elements in the background too, where like we're talking about all the investments in like the fan experience and what we need to do to kind of get there and everything else. So it's kind of like a culmination of all those different factors to kind of get where we are with the pricing. And you know, again, like I said, like we don't take that lightly. We certainly understand. And for any fans too, like, you know, that are listening, and you know, we want to be customer service facing as much as possible too. So, you know, get in touch with them. You know, Justin on our sales team, he's, you know, constantly talking to fans and everything else. Let him know if there's any, you know, if there's any hardships or anything else. Let us know, and like we'll certainly be able to help you address them, or hold the seats or something to that effect too. Like we're flexible, and we want to make sure that like, you know, our fans are taken care of. But overall, like it is just a lot of different data points. I think I had a very long presentation would looked at in terms of what all the different numbers and everything else that kind of went into it. But we did vet like every area and every situation. And again, like the scaling of the building is usually like one of the first things that we look at, then opponents and date time, stuff like that.
I think all fans would be upset with me if I didn't ask about the lack of warning on the price increase. It's happened twice in the last year where the renewal came and it was just, this is what the new deal is. It happened with basketball tickets last year with the ending of the family plan, and then the price increases for football this season. Fans weren't given a heads up that this was going to be occurring. So I don't know what can be done about that in the future, but I know a lot of fans were upset with that. And I think they'd be upset if I didn't mention it.
No, and I appreciate you mentioning that too. That again, that's good. Again, everything I do is all about feedback, so that's good feedback to know. And I think that's certainly something that, you know, we can address moving forward too, with anything, any changes or any, like, especially from a pricing standpoint or like, you know, yeah, we can certainly attach that. I think the line of thinking too was, you know, when we went on sale, it was a 8-week renewal period. So like that's why when we kind of like rolled out the pricing. And I think too, like part of it, now that I'm like looking at like what we've done, we can certainly call more attention to it. So definitely on us, and I think we can definitely get better from that standpoint. But you know, just know for everyone too, like, you know, the expectation, if you know we roll it out on March 13th, you know, you're not going to be penalized if you don't renew by March 14th or something like that. May 8th is the deadline this year too. So if you need time to kind of take it in and just understand everything, just know that like your seats aren't going anywhere until following the deadline and everything else. And even so, just, you know, let us know and talk to Justin. But I could that's very good feedback and understanding for me to know too. And we can probably do more to call attention specifically to that, more so than we did leading into it. But yeah, I do appreciate that feedback.
All right, Joe, let's talk about game day atmosphere. Winning, it obviously helps ticket sales, but so does the game day experience. Can fans expect any major changes to the game day production, or, you know, even the smaller tweaks that you're really excited about that you think are going to take things to the next level?
Sure. I think, and again, like looking like holistically at the full game day too, I'm really excited about, I think, Kauffman Mall this year. I think that's going to be something that we can certainly continue to build on with where we've been at. And again, like I don't want to overpromise anything, but you know, we're trying to strategically work with a few partners to build out some cool new spaces and everything else, I think, in that area leading into there too. And hopefully once we're working on getting a date for homecoming and parent weekend now, from, we have proposed something to the university. It's not finalized yet, but hopefully within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll have some of that finalized. Once that gets done, we'll be able to kind of then line up all of our other like promotions and events and everything else once those dates get set. And so I'm really excited about that. I don't know if we've talked about it too, you know, coming from Rutgers, that was one of the biggest things that we did, you know, during my time there, where, I mean, we brought the Jersey Boardwalk to game day. I mean, it was awesome. And I think it was one of those things, and believe me, it wasn't me by any stretch of the imagination. It was a big team of us that kind of put a lot of effort in there. But once we got that up and running, that was like one of the coolest. Like, I would argue right now, like, Rutgers probably has the coolest game day atmosphere in the country. Like, and that's probably saying something in the big, you know, the Big Ten and everything else. But pull up some videos of the boardwalk and everything else, and it's impressive. And so, you know, I've seen that, and I know where the potential is, especially with something as great as, like, I mean, it's so convenient. It's right next to the stadium. It's on a perfect part of campus. Like, there's so many cool place things we can do with it. So I think that's something that I'm excited about heading into next year. You know, for the in-game too, I think we have some opportunities in front of us to rethink the way and the process of doing some things, everything in terms of just like our, I wouldn't say our scripting, it would be more of like our execution of like the on-field elements. And you know, we've talked about like the on-field presentations. That is on our list. We are going to be revamping some of that, hopefully adding some new elements to that with more fan interaction. And more than anything else too, like we've talked about it internally, where like we're really, really focused on the student engagement piece too. And we want to identify some more pieces, because, you know, we love the fans, but we know when the student section is going crazy, you know, that everyone kind of feeds off that. And so, you know, we're looking to identify some areas there that I think we can really do well. And I think it's also doubling down on what we do well. I think, you know, I think the light show is a really great element of game day. We're looking at revamping that for next year. So we're not, you know, we just want to like kind of like double down onto it. I think, I mean, what Coop has done and a few other folks in my office with like all the, like the flyovers and the parachuters, like those are awesome. And, you know, we really want to double down on some of those areas. So yeah, I think it's a mixture of kind of like, you know, new opportunity and doubling down on what's working. And then, you know, just shoring up structurally, kind of like how, you know, what are some of our processes are.
All right. So you mentioned student engagement there. Yep. Again. So let's go there. Engagement in general. I mean, it's harder than ever to keep engagement up at sporting events. So, I mean, we've got, you know, so many distractions these days. Everybody's got one of these devices in their hands, and people are often, you know, looking down at those things. And of course, students are, you know, no different. So whether it's in hoops or it's football, what are some things that you guys are talking about behind the scenes? Because I know Mike and I talk about it all the time. How are you going to get those students engaged? Because the crowd goes as the students go. If you have that crazy student crowd at the TED, or you've got them over there, you know, Ricky likes to point up at them, you know, what are some things that you guys are talking about to try to get them more vested in those experiences?
It's always the, like, the chicken or the egg concept too, because, like, you know, you want to put on an awesome experience, but you got to get them there first. But then how are you going to keep them there once, you know? And so we're, like, a lot of our focus is A, you know, building good relationships across campus, and, you know, really building it, like, to the extent that, like, everyone is kind of behind, right? Like, put the focus on, you know, how important, you know, getting the students to games and everything else. I think a lot of it from a student perspective is also FOMO. And so it's kind of like getting, like, if you see your friends going to a game and enjoying themselves, then you're going to more likely go to a game and enjoy yourself. And, like, it kind of, like, builds from there too. So, you know, really, I think one of the biggest things that we're doing is trying to find, there's a new group on campus called Monarch Mayhem, right, for the new student group. And they're starting to build. I know that there was, I'm probably going to get yelled at for forgetting the previous student group's name.
The Maniac.
There we go. Thank you. Sorry about that. But, like, really engaging with them to be kind of, like, our spirit, like, our leader in, like, kind of, like, the student activities, and really, like, you know, providing them resources that, you know, otherwise maybe they, you know, they wouldn't have or something like that to do that. Like, even when we did, I don't know if you guys saw it, we had Ricky go out and brought the jugs machine out to Kauffman Mall last year and just saw how many students could catch a punt. And, like, that was, like, something small that we hadn't done previously, but, like, we got really good engagement on it, and, like, it was leading into the App State game. And, again, I'm not saying that was the reason why that was probably the best student section of the year, but, like, that was something that we were able to kind of build some momentum, engage, like, outside of, you know, the normal emails or whatever else is coming out, and get in front of the students and, like, have them feel a part of, you know, the coaching staff, like the athletic community and stuff like that. And so what we've talked about is finding more of those A, engagement pieces that we can be on campus in advance. And then B, once we get them to the game, is where that's when we really need to, like, double down on everything that we're doing. And again, it comes down to, like, some more music selection. I think we're really excited about, we're going to have a new band director this year as well. So getting the band more involved in leading the student section is something that I think we can really take advantage of from that standpoint. And then having more interaction with the student section during the games too. So, you know, having, you know, whether it's RMC or anybody else actually in there doing a presentation, leading a chant, doing those different elements, just to kind of get them, like you said, get them off the phone, right? Get them looking up, get them looking at the game. Not to say, like, all of them are doing that, but, like, that's where we can really start that tradition. I mean, it's crazy when you look at, you know, you can't go from 0 to 60, right? Like, immediately in a lot of these situations. Like, I mean, I remember when I was at Rutgers, like, Pikel's first couple years, like, we probably got, like, 300-400 students out to a couple games. Like, Eddie Jordan was just leaving Rutgers. Probably, like, there wasn't much of a culture or anything else. But, you know, winning helps. But, you know, the attachment that, like, that staff built with the students and, like, just the atmosphere, it kind of grew over time to a point where we had a line of, like, you know, 2,000 students waiting to get in by last year. So, you know, just finding those different, like, engagement opportunities is something I think that's really key and critical to it.
Do you guys offer blocks for student groups? Because I know other colleges will say this block is for this fraternity and this sorority, or maybe one of the clubs on campus.
So we didn't do that this past year. I think we have in the past, from my conversations just about Greek life in general and everything else. But that is certainly another area that we could do more. I mean, there's really nothing we can't do in terms of that, right? Like, there's really nothing that's holding us back from those different areas. It's just a matter of, you know, buy-in and just, you know, having a group that wants to take advantage of that too. So we're starting to make some inroads on the Greek life. That's, like, an area too where, like, we're looking at as a to be kind of one of those leaders on campus to really, you know, get that movement going.
Yeah, I think that's really smart. The kids that are in clubs or in Greek life are usually the most involved, and they're going to be the most, have the best school spirit. So, all right.
Yeah.
basketball. Obviously, with the hire of Coach Mike Jones, there's a lot of renewed excitement about basketball and basketball season tickets. Can you give us an idea of when renewals will start for hoops? And when will new ticket sales start?
So, good question. I'm working on that right now. And so we have two timelines in mind that we just need to kind of vet out a little bit more. I would say I can give you a range right now. I think we're looking as early as just after the national championship game, right around that, you know, early April timeframe, or it would probably be middle to end of May as well. And to be fair, too, and one of the things that always kind of factor in is just, especially in basketball with the longer schedule, we want to make sure that, you know, the schedule is a little more firm, too, because there's still a couple, like, we have some out-of-conference games scheduled up, and we know the conference schedule is just, there's still some contracts out there and everything else. So that's usually, like, when basketball, that's usually the little one factor that delays us a little bit. So we're looking at probably right around that time frame. And we do the same thing, too, like, especially with Mike's first year heading into it, too. We'll probably do something similar to football, where we'll allow everyone to renew first. And then, you know, in case anyone doesn't renew their seats and anything opens up, we'll go through that, like, relocation process first and then open up new sales afterwards. So that way, you know, if anyone wants to move their seats or they'll have first crack at it.
All right, Joe, I will close with this. All right. If fans have ideas, what is the best way for them to submit them to you?
The best way to submit anything to us, if fans are interested in providing any feedback, you know, I'm always happy to receive it and, you know, have a conversation on it too. My email address, it's on odusports.com under the staff directory. It's jraffinelli@odu.edu.
Awesome, Joe. Appreciate you coming on, man, answering all our questions. I know that fans who are listening to this are really going to enjoy it. Can you close us out with your message to Monarch Nation?
I'm excited to be here. This is really a cool place. You know, my wife and I, like I said, we moved here 7 months ago, and we were really, I think, taken aback by, like, the feel of the community and everything else. And I mean, this is just the beginning, I think, of what we can do from our side on the external side, but also too, I mean, you look at what's in front of us right now between, you know, what Ricky's got rolling on the football side. I'm really excited about basketball, and, you know, Delisha's got a great program going right now on the women's side. Like, there's so many different elements that I think, or I should say, there's so many good stories that we'll be able to tell from our side. And again, I think it's the biggest thing that I think is, you know, exciting and cool is, like, just getting to know and become a part of the community and everything else is, you know, something that I'm jacked up about. And I think, you know, we'll hopefully fans will see that from, you know, some of the products and some of the different pieces that we work on. And again, we are listening. And I do want to reiterate that too. We're like, we're not trying to do anything in a vacuum on our side either. So, you know, feedback is key and critical, and, you know, we might not always see eye to eye on everything, and there might be some, you know, different, you know, goals and things that we have to focus in on or hit on our end, but always understand that, you know, we're always looking to just be the best game day, you know, in the country. Like, that's what we want to do. So,
and before you know it, you're going to have a baseball stadium to fill.
Not too far away.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that because I haven't had baseball. I started my career in minor league baseball, and when I really at Rutgers the last few years, we didn't even have lights, so we weren't selling anything on the baseball front. Although their program is very good now, but yeah, like I haven't sold baseball in like 10 years, so I'm excited.
Yeah, we can't wait.
Well, we are too. We're big baseball fans.
Yeah, we can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
It's getting close. I know Rick French and our facilities team, they're putting the pedal to the metal to get that project going.
Well, when you guys are ready to talk about that, you come on. We'll spread the word.
No, I know you guys will.
Good deal. Well, thanks again, Joe. Appreciate you coming on, man. And go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.